And every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection. That is the heart of Christianity, isn't it? Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. If Christ did not rise from the dead, as we'll see in 1 Corinthians, then it's all in vain. But he did, and that's what we celebrate this season. And here in Romans chapter 1, notice verse 4, it says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." So, declared with power. That'll be our title today. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would guide us in your word and use it in our hearts to teach and grow us. And as we celebrate today our wonderful Savior conquering death, may it just renew in our hearts how blessed we are, how thankful we are for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, may you be glorified now in this service as we focus on hearing from your word through the Holy Spirit, in whose name we pray. Amen. Declared. This was a declaration by our Creator. Amen. A declaration of God's power. Now, Calvary, 3 days earlier, was a declaration of God's love. But the resurrection was a declaration of God's power over death. If it hadn't been for Calvary, there would have been no resurrection. And Calvary is when Christ died and paid for our sins. And where the Bible says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us." In 1 John chapter 4, God manifested or declared his love for the world at the cross. There could be no greater love than a man to lay down his life for his friends. Amen. And when Christ hung on that cross and said, "Father, forgive them." And when he said, "It is finished," that was God saying to the world, "I love the world." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But the resurrection, that's first day of the week, that's Sunday when Christ came back from the dead and spent 40 days with his disciples. That was a declaration of power, that death had been conquered. And if you go to John chapter 2, Jesus prophesied of this declaration. John chapter 2, verse 19. Now, they didn't understand it at the time, as was just shared in the song. The disciples were confused because they didn't understand the gospel yet. And they ran and hid instead of preached. And Jesus had to come find them hiding out after the resurrection because they honestly didn't get it. Even though Christ told them multiple times exactly what would happen, they didn't get it. And even here in John 2, verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days?" But he spake of the temple of his body. They didn't understand, did they? But Jesus told them, this was the beginning of his ministry. Right from the start, he said, "If you destroy this temple," referring to his body, "I will raise it back up 3 days later." And in Acts 17, if you turn there, please, verse 31. This was a declaration that our Creator is life, has the power of life and death. And he said that to the world on Easter Sunday, Acts 17:31, "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead." Assurance. If you're a Christian here today, you have assurance you're going to heaven. Amen. Not because you're good or better than others. We're all sinners. But because you have been saved by Jesus Christ. And because he rose from the dead, you know that you have eternal life. It was a declaration of God's power over death. Revelation 1:18, quickly if you would. Jesus here saying that he has this power now. What power is that? The ultimate power. Revelation 1:18, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." Those are some pretty powerful keys, aren't they? To have the keys of hell and to have the keys of death. This is what the resurrection declared to the world, that Jesus Christ has the power over death. As he mentioned in John, that he would raise his own body back up 3 days later. Now back to our passage, Romans 1, it says, according to the Spirit of holiness. All three parts of the Trinity were involved in the resurrection, as is the case in all major events in the Scriptures, creation and so forth, the baptism of Christ. But notice it says, according to the Spirit of holiness. The Holy Spirit was involved as well. Look at Romans 8:11. And so we already read how the Father was involved, how Jesus, of course, said he would raise himself up, but the Holy Spirit was involved too. Notice Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead moved in when we got saved and gave us eternal life. That word quicken means to give life. And so the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, moved in. Amen? And if you think about that, why would God refer to him as the Spirit of holiness? Well, all through the Scriptures, his name is Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Here's Spirit of holiness. Because God wants us to be reminded that he's holy. All through the Scriptures, his most prominent attribute is his holiness. No question. It's mentioned over 600 times in Scripture. And we must remember that the day we got saved, we became the temple of the Holy Ghost. That the Holy One moved in. Amen. What does he want from us? 1 Peter 1:15, be ye holy, for I am holy. He wants us to now live a holy life. Notice 1 Corinthians 6:19 quickly, if you would. And so we as Christians now, who have accepted the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, accepted the Holy Spirit into our lives by trusting Christ, we now have a responsibility to live a holy life. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We gave God ownership of ourselves that day, didn't we? He's now our master. He's now our Lord, which is a good thing because he's a good master and he's a good Lord. But he says, I own you now, and what I want you to be is holy. And it was the Spirit of holiness, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, that was also involved in this declaration of the power of Almighty God when death was conquered. It's all about the resurrection. This was Calvary, of course, was God loving us enough to die in our place. Amen. But the resurrection was God saying, death is now conquered. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and we'll see this in verse 12. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christianity doesn't exist. Every other group, religion, whatever you want to call it in the world, has a founder, right? But all those founders died. But none of them came back to life except Jesus. Jesus came back from the dead, spent 40 days with his disciples, and then 500 people watched him ascend to heaven. But notice here in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 12, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. You see how the Bible's making it very clear. It all hangs on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 18, that they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What Paul is saying is if it's only about this life, if the evolutionists and the atheists are right, and we just die and that's it, it's over, then we've essentially wasted our time. We've wasted our energy. That's what he's saying, isn't it? He's saying, you're miserable. But, verse 20, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. It all hinges on the resurrection from the dead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians 3:10. Paul understood this in his own ministry. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. And so God here in Romans 1, verse 4, he says he's declared with power by the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, Paul said, and the power of his resurrection. Amen? The power of his resurrection. God said to the world, death means nothing to me. I am life. And that power, my friend, moved in the day you got saved. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The power of the one that rose Jesus from the dead. Look at 1 Peter 1:3 quickly if you would. And because of that, we now have a hope. As the scriptures say, a hope of eternity with our Lord. That's again what Christianity is all about, isn't it? 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection. A lively hope. The hope that it's not just about this life. The hope that we've been rescued from our sins and the consequences of sin. The hope that we're going to one day see Jesus. The hope that we get to rule and reign with him in the kingdom. The hope that we will live forever. Look at what it says. That hope is by the resurrection. It's through the resurrection that we have the hope. Because God said to the world, I've conquered death. Amen? Satan definitely lost on that day. So he is declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And then back to our passage, Romans 1. Paul then explained that because of what Jesus did, he has been chosen by God to be one of the apostles. But he says, for obedience to the faith among all nations. What is God saying? He's saying that now that he's made his declaration of love at Calvary, now that he's made his declaration of power at the resurrection, he wants all nations to know about it. Amen? He wants it to go everywhere, this good news. And that's exactly our mission, is to tell the world, your Creator loves you. Look at Calvary. And your Creator has the power to give you eternal life. Look at the resurrection. To declare it. Matthew 28:19, most of us know it, but let's turn there quickly. Right before Jesus went back to heaven, this is exactly what he told us. Verse 18, Matthew 28. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, there's that word power again, All power, Matthew 28:18, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In other words, I have all power. I'm God. I've declared that power through the resurrection. Then what does it say in verse 19? Now that you know that I have all power, now that I am going to indwell you in the person of the Holy Ghost after I ascend back to heaven, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go tell them. I have all power. I've died for man and I've now risen from the dead. Go tell who? All nations. Go share my declaration of power with the world. That I died for them and that I rose again for them. That's the heart of our gospel, isn't it? Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 15. Turn over there. We looked at the later passage, but look in the beginning of 1 Corinthians 15. He said the gospel is not complicated, but it all hinges on these two declarations. Declaration of love and declaration of power. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that? Christ, number one, died for our sins. Amen? There's the love, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. There's the declaration of power according to the scriptures. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. That is what Easter is about. Amen? Romans 16:26 makes it very clear, if you turn there quickly, that now it is our mission to share the declarations of our Creator with the world. To share with our friends, our neighbors, our family, our workmates, God loves you. How much? Just look at Calvary. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And the God that loves you and died for you also rose again to declare to the world that he has the power over death and the power to give everlasting life. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 16:26, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. It's now made manifest. For 2,000 years, God manifested his love and he manifested his power. And what does he want? He wants it made known to all nations. Our mission is to declare God's love and God's power to a lost and dying world. People question God's love all the time, don't they? They look at the world and what a mess it's in. We're constantly reading about Christians getting killed around the world just for believing in Jesus. That was their crime. Just trusting Christ. You know, it's not happening here. Like Dan said, we're very blessed that by claiming Christ as our Savior, it's not a death sentence, but it is in many places. But why is that? Well, because the world's a mess. Satan is the god of this world. But all that goes away when you realize we're going to live forever. Amen? God conquered death and offers that to us. Through salvation, Jesus said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. That's why all this through the scriptures, the Bible says, we're not to fear man. The world's a mess. We might even die. And we'll go to heaven. Amen. But God made a declaration on Easter Sunday. And that declaration was, I've conquered death for you, talking to mankind. And now you need to believe what Christ did that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Believe that he did it for you, and believe that he is the only Savior, the only one who can conquer death for us and deal with our sin problem. And if you will believe that and trust him, the Bible says, now you're part of it. Amen. Now you have the power. Now you have the forgiveness. That's what Easter's all about. Jesus Christ was declared with power. Amen. If you're here today, you're not sure you're saved, I hope you would realize how important it is that you trust Christ. Because our souls will last forever in one place or another. The Bible makes that very clear. Read Luke 16 if you'd like, about the rich man who died and was instantly in torment, and about the beggar who died and was instantly in paradise. We're going to instantly be in one place or another, based upon what we do with Jesus, and only based upon what we do with Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5:11 and 12. And if you have not received the life that he offers through his resurrection, you need to, and I hope you will, through the gospel. Those of us that are Christians, what is our job? To declare, amen? To declare the love of God and to declare the power of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for speaking to us from it and reminding us what Easter is all about. And I pray, Lord, that truly we would catch the fire of the resurrection and tell others that they can also receive eternal life and have death conquered for them. And as the Bible says, it's eternal death. And once we get saved, we have eternal life. So, Lord, may we declare it. And if, Lord, we are not, may you speak to our hearts that we would get out there and tell others. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Again, if there's someone not saved, may they realize they need Jesus and may they get saved today.